Thank God. Thank you, Lord. We've been talking about faith and just reviewing and just kind of reviewing some things that we went over before, getting to a point where we'll go on. So why don't we turn over to Romans 10, 8 through 10. Go over to Romans 10 and start there. And if you missed some of those, you can go on the website and catch up. They go into the last three services have just kind of been reviewing what we spent many services on in the spring and then last fall. And so those are all available, any given part of it. If you want to get more, it's available on the website. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Romans 10, 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. We all there? All right, verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we could touch on what we've talked about up until now. We've centered around several verses and covered a lot, but just to recap real quickly, just get us all just moving here. We talked about what faith is, first of all. Faith is believing. Faith is believing. Believing is having faith. If you have faith in somebody, then you believe something about them. If I have faith in this chair, then I'll sit on it. If I say I have faith in this chair, but I won't sit on it, I don't really believe the chair will hold me. But the test of if I really believe this chair will hold me is that I won't think anything of it and I'll sit on it. But I can say all day, oh yeah, I have faith in that, but if I won't sit on it, I don't really believe it. That's faith. Some people say, well, I trust God, but they won't put any pressure on it. They won't really, when push comes to shove, they don't really trust him. They'll say, no. But they might talk a good talk, but if they won't sit, they don't believe him. All's faith is believing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is expectation. What you expect to see is because of what you believe. Your belief sits under, is the foundation under what you hope for. If you believe Jesus is your Savior, then you expect to see Him. You expect to spend eternity with Him. You have that hope. You have that expectation. Why do you have that? Because you believe today. Faith is in the present tense. You believe something. You believe just what this verse says, which we'll get to, that you became born again by believing Him. And so you expect one day when you die to walk into heaven, to be in heaven. That's our expectation. So faith is believing something now, and it goes with it, then you're going to expect something to happen. Faith comes by hearing what God has said. It doesn't come any other way. Faith comes by hearing. F.F. Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer, said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's another way of saying faith comes by hearing. Because how do you know the will of God? It's because you've heard the will of God. You've heard what He said. This is the written word of God. This is the will of God. If you read or hear or see what He said, then you can have faith. But you can't have faith until you've heard what He said. You can't, in other words, you can't have faith beyond what the word of God tells you. Because faith is believing. Believing what? Bible faith is believing God. If you had faith in me, that'd be that you believed in me. If somebody said, I have faith in you. Well, what does that mean? I believe in you. Some way I believe that you're going to do something, or you're going to accomplish something, or I trust you. I believe in your performance. Why? Because you've seen something about me. Maybe because I told you something. To have faith in God is to believe His word. But you can't just make up things to quote-unquote believe. See, people do this all the time. Well, I'm just believing God for such and such. But they're not really believing anything. They're really kind of wishing for something to happen. Because believing, having faith, is based on what He said. If you go down to Romans 10, verse 17, it says it here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we back up to verse 13, again, we're reviewing real quickly. We can go and there's more depth on our messages on the website. But verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet," as it is written, "how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Then skip down to verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What is he saying? If you go back up, you say that, it says in verse 15, "How shall they preach unless they are sent?" So people are sent to preach the gospel. And then the phrase right before that, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" Somebody can't hear unless somebody tells or you read the word of God. The phrase before that, "How shall they believe in Him if they haven't heard?" So you can't believe unless you've heard. But once, if you've heard, then you can believe. And then the final phrase before that, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So you can't call on God, you can't call on the name of Jesus to be saved unless you've heard, unless you've believed. And you're not going to believe unless you've heard, and you're not going to hear unless somebody has told you. But this is how faith comes then. It's by hearing what God has said. And so if we go back to verse 8, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth," this is telling us how to get saved right here. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So this is telling us, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe it in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." So, if somebody has heard this, then faith comes, and then we have a choice to believe it. And if we'll believe in our heart, it says that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And this is what we got into then last week and some the week before, is that it's with the heart one believes. It's not with your head. It's not with your body. It's not with your mental capacity. It's with your heart. And your heart is the real you, the inside person, the part that's going to exist even when your body goes to be in the ground. That's not us. You know, we might think, most of us don't, as we get older, you realize it's not all about your looks, because your looks, probably the best you're ever going to look today. And it's just going down from there. I remember my gym teacher, actually he's the football coach, and then he taught weightlifting. And I played soccer. I wasn't one on the football team or anything, but somehow I had a friend that played football, and we were coming in, before we went into ninth grade, we were in the I don't know, in the spring visiting, and there was this weight training class, and anybody could sign up, but it's really for football players. And I have a friend that's one of my best friends, a football player, so we both signed up. When I got in that class, it's all football players, and I'm a soccer player, and he gave me a hard time. Okay, soccer player, you know, yeah, you could be in here, but I'm taking a spot that some football player probably should have. Anyway, this guy, he's a funny man, but he's been doing this for years, and he used to say to us, you know, 25 after 25, it's all downhill from there. Your body peaks at 25, and at that point, everything starts going down. You can try all you want, you can lift weights and whatever, but stuff starts decaying at 25. Now, that's not a bad confession. That is the way it is. Your body doesn't have to completely fall apart, though. You're just not going to be able to move as fast necessarily when you're 65 as when you're 25, but that doesn't mean you have to be sick. That doesn't mean you have to fall apart. That doesn't mean all your faculties have to go. No, the Bible says that Abraham, you know, was old, and Moses, when he was old, his eyes were fine. And we don't have to fall apart and our bodies completely deteriorate, but they do get older. And that's our exterior man, but that's not the real us. Thank God. Thank God. You know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And because God said, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. Now, we're going to live forever, but what he's talking about is you don't want to live forever in this body. And they lived for a long time, you know, 900 some odd years. We think, you know, we got it going now because somebody lives to be 90 and they look all completely bent over and everything, but they're still going. I mean, we've fallen a long ways from when they lived 900 years. It took them to die because the curse hadn't taken hold yet. And so their bodies must have been amazing at that point. But in that, you know, life was different then. The world was different. But we don't have to reside in this body, thank God. We have an inner man. And when we die, this body is going in the ground. And we're going to get a new body in heaven. Eventually, we're going to get a new body, and it's not going to be like this body. It's not going to decay. But we are spirits. My point. We are spirits. The Bible teaches we are spirits. We have a soul. We live in a body. We are a spirit. We have mind, will, and emotion. That's your soul, your personality. Yes, people are going to know you in heaven. Yes, people are going to, you're going to have your memory. You're going to know, remember things, and you have your personality. When you get born again, the part of you that gets born again is not your body. When you get born again, if you're bald, you're still bald after you get born again. If you had brown hair, you're still brown hair unless you dyed it the same day. Your mind, thank God, doesn't go blank when you're born again. It doesn't become new. Imagine if that part of you was made new. I don't want to start over. I mean, then you, all of a sudden, boom, everything's gone out of your brain and you don't know how to talk or anything. Don't know your goo goo gaga. You know, we don't want that. No, our bodies don't suddenly become new. No, the part that's made new when we get born again is our inner man. Becomes born again, becomes renewed. If we could see in the spirit realm, something happened and now we're brand new in the spirit realm. Let's turn over. Hold your finger there. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. We were gonna get here in a little bit, but this fits here, and we'll probably come back to it. 2 Corinthians 5.2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how do you become in Christ? It means you're born again. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, all things what? All things in your spirit, man. Not all things in your life. Some people look and say, well, you know, they get born again and they have some of the same tendencies as they did before they got born again. And they think, well, I must not be saved. You know, some of the same thoughts I had, I still have some of the same habits. Well, that's because the part of you that got born again is your inner man. You still have the same mind. And if you've spent 15 years training that mind to think certain thoughts and let things go through it, don't be surprised when you have those same type of thoughts, because our mind, we're creatures of habit. And if there's certain methods of behavior and whatever, if they're already in there, you have to do something to change that. But your mind is already programmed a certain way, and we need to reprogram it with the Word of God, to renew the mind with the Word of God. Your body, it has certain, your body, if just left to it by itself, will just go, you know, it just wants to sleep all the time. It wants to stuff its face with everything, wants to sit on the couch and watch TV while stuffing the face. You know, I mean, people will sit there and look at the internet till their eyes are just basically, you know, burnt raisins, just can't even see, you know, and just keep clicking and keep clicking. I mean, if you just let your body do what it wants to do, it'll just go till it can't go anymore. I can't even hardly keep my eyes open, but I'm still watching the movie, you know, and then I'm falling asleep or whatever. People drink themselves into a stupor. That's the flesh. But the good news is, if you get born again, your flesh doesn't automatically change. We have to do something with our flesh. We have to submit our body to God, and we have to do something about it. But it doesn't become all new. The part of us that became new is our spirit. And that's the part that we believe God with. And this is good news, because if we believe God with our hearts, then no matter what it looks like on the outside, and this is where we got to last week, no matter what it looks like on the outside, if you realize I'm believing God with my inner man, then if my body feels a certain way, I can say it doesn't matter, I still believe God, because I'm not believing God with my mind or my flesh. Just because my mind has doubts or doesn't understand everything, I can still believe God and say, God, if you said it, you must know what you're talking about, so I'm going to believe you. Okay. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to believe you. You know, Abraham, he's called the father of faith, and he believed God in spite of what it looked like on the outside. If he would have gone by what it looked like, you know, we're familiar with Abraham. God told him, you're going to have, he told him to look up at the sky and said, you know, all those stars, that's going to be the way your family is. And the man doesn't have one child. And his wife has never had a child, and is 90 years old, and he's 100 years old. If he's going by his body, he's thinking, now I'm not sure how this is going to happen. I don't see this at all. I don't feel like I'm having a child. You know, my wife's going to have a child anytime soon. I don't understand this. But that he did not do that. He looked and said, God, okay, if you said it, you must know what you're talking about. I believe you. Okay. And he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when we're believing God, we're believing with that inner man. And so that's what faith is. It's believing God with the inner man. So that's why we, if some thought comes and says, well, I don't know how that's going to happen, or don't you see what's actually reality, we have to say, no, I believe God with my heart, not my head, and, oh, your body doesn't feel right. Well, it must not work. No, we just put that aside and say, no, I believe God anyway. Anyway. So that's what we talked about last week, is that we believe with our heart. So today I want to get into how to turn our faith loose. Let's go back to Romans 10, verse 8. How to turn our faith loose. So We know what faith is. We know how it comes. We know that it's of our heart. And now we have to act on it. And we have to believe God. What do we do? What do you do to turn your faith loose? Let's look at Romans 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Notice that. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The word needs to be, for faith to work, it needs to be two places, in your mouth and in your heart. Faith is of the heart. You're believing with your heart, but notice right here, it says to do something with your mouth. And people have missed this, and people have made fun of it, because they don't understand it, and it's working every day in everybody's life on the face of the earth. What we say is coming to pass, and we are bound by our words, or loosed by our words. And right here, the Bible says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, notice that. This is how we got born again. What does it say? If you confess with your mouth. This is saying how to get born again, and it's also telling us this is the way everything we receive from God comes. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Or you could say, with the heart one believes unto healing. Or you could say, with the heart one believes unto prosperity and wellness. You could say, with the heart one believes unto right relationships. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto healing. With the mouth confession is made unto having all your needs met. This works for people everywhere, and they don't even realize what they're doing. But for you to turn your faith loose, we need to do something. We need to act on the word. And a big way that you act on the word is with what you say. You can play a good game, put on a good game with everybody. And you know, like around when you're at church, try to talk right. And some people make this mistake. You know, they pick up Christianese and lingo, and they talk. They come to church and they talk the way they expect everybody to let, you know, that they're expected to talk. So they, you know, talk Christianese, we say. And but when they go home, it's a whole different story. You talk one way in front of everybody. Well, yes, hallelujah, glory to God, raise your hands, whatever. But when you go home, or when you're in your car, or when you're alone in your bedroom, the stuff that can come out of people's mouth, and we're all prone to it, and we all have to control our mouth, but what people say and speak over themselves and say, let out of their mouth, I can't do anything right. I'll never get out of this. I'll never change. I don't know how I'm ever going to pay for this. I don't think my body will ever change. I've done this and I've done that, and there's just no hope. These kind of things are like bars of iron imprisoning us. And this is where it does, it, you know, if you say all the quote-unquote right things when you're in front of people, but then when you're not, you say all the wrong things. Unless you're in front of people all the time, you're saying the wrong thing a lot of the time. And by doing that, that shows, and that by you hearing it and hearing it. See, faith comes by hearing. And if you let the wrong thing come out of your mouth and you keep saying the wrong thing and you say, you make a mistake and you say, I'm so stupid. I just don't know how I can ever do anything. Nobody likes me at work and nobody loves me. And you say these things over and over and you hear them and it just reinforces what you're hearing and you believe it. Faith comes by hearing. And if you hear it, you believe it. And you say it, and you hear it, and you believe it, and you say it. And it's not just the fact that you're saying it and you're believing it, but you are actually decreeing it in your life that this is how it will always be. You are saying, I'm a victim. You are saying, I am poor. You are saying, I am weak. You are saying, I am sick. We are, you know, whatever. If we proclaim defeat and just doubt and unbelief and all these things over us, that's what we hear, that's what we enforce, and we basically chain ourselves to that. On the other hand, if we'll speak God's word in the face of any circumstances, and we say what we believe. I mean, even if you feel like it's the last thing in the world you want to say, but if you read it in the Word and faith rises up and you choose to say it, you are releasing your faith. This is how things change in the earth. This is how we got born again. If we believed in our heart that Jesus died for us and raised from the dead, the way it says here, and we acted on it and says, I believe that. Jesus is Lord. And we believed it in our heart and we spoke it with our mouth, something happened on the inside. The inner man, that old man, has passed away and a new man stands in his place. That's being born again. When we believe the word and we hear it, we see the word and hear the word on any subject, if we start agreeing with that word and start speaking it, that's when we'll see results. That's when we'll see it. This, you know, back in the spring, we talked about the different types of confession. We're not going to go into that, but a lot of people, they associate confession with negative. Like, confessing to a crime, or people talking about, you know, I'm confessing all my sins. Well, there is that part. We went into the different parts of that. Those things are true. But what we have to relate to is the positive side of confession. Will you confess the Lord Jesus? You confess and you believe and say what God says about you, regardless of what you feel or think or see in your life. You still confess the word. You still say the word. Turn over to Mark 11:22. It says, so Jesus answered. Let's back up actually to verse 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came into Jerusalem. So this place is outside of Jerusalem. So they came into Jerusalem. They did some things. And then verse 19, when evening had come, he went out of the city. And now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, the fig tree that he cursed. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now back up to the beginning of verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, what? Says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now notice how many times in that verse a form of say is, and how many times a form of believe is. Let's go through it again. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, that's one, whoever says to this mountain, or so he's saying to you, so he's telling them this, but so don't count that one, sorry. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, so he's talking about whoever now, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, so there's one believe, one says, that those things he says to will be done, he will have whatever he says. So he's saying, saying is there three times and believing is there once. Most people, or there's a lot of people that just think, well, if I believe God, that's enough. But that's not what the Bible says. And that's not what Jesus said here. He said, if you'll say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You will have whatever you say. What you say is absolutely vital to releasing your faith. You can completely undo what you believe by speaking doubt and unbelief. You let stuff come out of your mouth and it just undoes your faith. It weakens your faith. So one thing I just want to touch on today in the time we have remaining is speaking what the Word says about us concerning who we are in Christ. So we talked about becoming a new creature. One thing that we have to say and agree with is what is ours in Christ. If we'll see and confess and agree with the things that we see in the Bible of what is ours in Christ, and confess that, and say that, and believe that, we'll start seeing things, our mentality change. So one, let's go back over to 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we came from. Let's talk about a few of them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Second Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, all there, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is, if anyone is in Christ, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. That means we are somebody different. We are a new person. And if you got born again late in life, this is something you need to know and need to confess and need to believe. That whoever, that man that did anything before Christ, that man is gone. That person is gone. And we have to realize that we are a new person in Christ. And speak that and say, no, in Christ, I am a new creation. I all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. I am a new creation. I, in the Spirit, I am a brand new person. And we have to remind ourselves of these things. When we miss it, when you fail, you have to come back. If you've gotten that and gone and confessed it before God and put it, ask God for God's forgiveness, you have to say, nope, that's passed away. Nope, in Christ, I am new. And you have to just believe that and act on it and say it even when you don't feel like it's true. You confess it. Another one in Ephesians 1. There are a whole bunch of these. If you haven't looked through these, I encourage you to get that book and look it up. Look those scriptures up. They'll change your mentality. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, in Him, in who? In Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Him we have redemption. We have it. Not going to have it, not in the future. It's saying, in Him we have it. And so we need to believe that and agree with it and believe that we have redemption now. We have it now. This is the difference. When you're believing and you're acting in faith, you believe you have it before you see it, before you feel like it, before anything changes. And so we have to act on this. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We need to say, I'm clean. I am clean. Because one of the devil, you have to confess this and you have to believe it and you have to say it when you feel dirty. When you've messed up. That is the time to agree with God. And this is exactly what we were talking about earlier. You, when you're in church and you feel like you're doing well and everything is going well, it's easy to say, oh, hallelujah, thank God, everything is so good. But it's right when you miss it and you lose your temper and you say something you shouldn't have, or you go do something you shouldn't do, or you get mad in traffic or whatever. If you take that to God and say, God, I blew it, I'm sorry, forgive me, that's the time to say, I have redemption in Him. I am clean in Him, because the devil will try to tell you you're dirty and you deserve bad now. That's when he'll tell you, and if you get sick now, you deserve it. And you're getting what's coming to you. And if things don't go well at work, well, you deserve it, because look at how you've behaved. And it might not just be some incident where you lost your temper, in traffic or whatever. But if you've had a streak where stuff isn't going so well and you've blown it several times, the devil will try to get on your back and ride you and tell you you're unworthy. How could you believe God? Who makes you think that God would do anything for you? And if we're not careful, we'll start agreeing with it. Even unconsciously, say you kind of drop your guard and say, I missed it. And you'll start rehearsing. If you don't understand what we're talking about, that you can go to God, get forgiven, and get right back clean, you'll start thinking, I've missed it here. I should have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that yesterday. I knew I should have gone to bed when, and then I didn't, and now look at this, and now I did this messed up, and you'll start setting yourself up to expect something bad to happen to you. This is how sickness comes on you. You start feeling bad, and you feel like, yeah, I blew it there. I mean, I probably let something down somewhere. I probably just let the devil, you know, I'm getting out. You know, I'm feeling bad, or I'm feeling weak, and yeah, but that's because I did this and that, and if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. And you start basically expecting to be sick instead of standing up and saying, wait a minute, I'm redeemed. Wait a minute, the Bible says I have redemption. I've already gone and said, yeah, I blew it. I acknowledge I blew it, but that's past, and all I have to expect now by the blood of Jesus is that I'm clean. I have forgiveness of sins by His grace. So no. And that's when we say, I'm clean. I'm redeemed. I'm right with God. This is when you say it. Say it. Say, no, I'm, thank you, God, that you've redeemed me. Thank you that I'm clean. And you lift your head and start speaking the word, and things change. Your attitude changes. What you expect to see changes. And these are just a few. When we know what we have in Christ, then we can say and speak those things and confess what the Word says in spite of the fact of how we feel. And so just a couple examples, and we'll get into more and talk about this more. But just if you'll go through and look at the places where it talks about who you are in Christ, who you are in Him, what has been done in Him, and just start saying that. You can't be deceived as easy. Something happens, goes wrong. Wait. In Christ, I'm a new creation. In Him, I have redemption. We were going to read Galatians 3:14. We're not going to get there. But it says, in Christ, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if we'll just look to Him, thank you, Lord. Confess the word over us, confess it in our lives, in the name of Jesus. In spite of what we feel, we'll see circumstances change.